Welcome, everyone, to our Thursday night Stargate Roundtable. We're happy to have all of you with us, and we have an interesting evening. Reverend John Polk is going to be here, and he's just come back from a major UFO conference and with a lot of the people that are doing the research, and so he has a lot of fun information to give to us this evening. We will open, of course, with our dear Angel Sue setting the tone and getting us started, setting the energy for us. So, Angel Sue, pass the talking stick to you.
Thank you, Marita Robert, and welcome to Stargate Roundtable. We are also claiming ourselves as the divine son, the divine daughter that we are. So if you'll just kind of settle in, we're going to open this with, by the light of the most radiant one, the light of God that never, never fails. And in the office of the Christ, and only in the office of the Christ, we are invoking the loving energies of Saint Germain and the Violet Flame. And sending extra blessings to Tar and Rama for teaching us that sequence. So many thanks to you, many blessings. May you be well and vibrant in what you're going through at this time. Things can switch into the on position for all of us. And I certainly have been going through some health challenges, but I have been very blessed by Marita. I've got to share this, that she uses the solfeggio. She's used tuning forks on our program before, but she also has wind chimes, and it seems that I just open up and allow more balance to come in when she just lets those go for about a minute or so. So that has been a huge blessing in my life, getting through these hiccups. And I pray that as we incorporate now this energy of Owati under the Law of One, and Owati stands for one with all there is in that part of the Law of One, we're going to allow ourselves to join in with the light even more. So as you shift your awareness from your head to your heart space, calling your support team, your guides, your masters, your teachers, your angels, your councils of light, and all those from the lighted realms of the heart that support you and follow your progress. We call them all in, and we're asking now to find the best balance for ourselves at this time. So with our intention, call in on the in-breath divine love, ever increasing, unconditional, and on your out-breath, let your gratitude flood the earth. And that it just is a normal sequence of knowing, intending, allowing this beautiful love and this beautiful gratitude to renew yourself and the planet. And if you will look on the inside, we'll use those words, praise, respect, thanks, and love. And whatever you find from the top of your head down to the bottom of your feet, I'll time it for you, 90 seconds, and just praise it. Respect it, thank it, and love it. And I'm going to mute out so you can just allow and accept and rejoice. This is where we'll shift now into happy thoughts of when we have felt some of our most amazing, best feelings in this body, using the peace breath. So simply take in a breath, and then on the release, somewhere where it's comfortable, say the word peace, and remember your body with feeling wonderful. Let that good feeling magnify in every cell and every atom. Remembering with your heart and with your toes and with your hair, all of that good stuff and everything in between your toes and your hair. Peace. Now amp it up. Intend that this be always improving, always becoming sweeter and happier, more joyful, until we meet again on the next Stargate. Let's allow that to refine itself for a week. Peace, breath in our bodies. And then if you'll shift now your focus to those that you claim in your life, your family, your friends, your associates, and we'll do the praise, respect, thanks and love with them. We'll do it for Nasara, the Reformation Act, our Faction 3 White Knights, whistleblowers, media people, the light workers, all those that are working to bring this reality here to the present now. So, good people, people that we are not too sure about, all of those, let's just connect with Owati, one with all there is. And we'll praise, respect, thank, and love them as well. I'm going to just do it for 60 seconds. So here we go. Using the 60 reduces to the 6, and that can be in service of humankind to have success, safety, security, and we'll hold in the intent for joy and happiness as well as we call in all the beings, known and unknown, seen and unseen, that are tied in with our concerns, with our life path. And for all those that we just cast our intention to, one with all there is, Owati. And we're calling for that perfect reset of joy and harmony, health, happiness, heaven on earth. And so with these beings here, we just send a mass hug to each one of them. And throughout time and space, and we're saying we are all one. And as one is harmed, then all are harmed. As one is helped, then all are helped. And therefore, in the name of who we are, and we are one with all there is, Owati, we ask that the highest good of all concerned happen here. And we give thanks that this is done with Rainbird's 13 thank yous and honey in the heart. And so it is. So be it. We'll close now by saying, all men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation, we are all one. And with this, Marita, that opening is done.
Well, we thank you, Angel Sue. When she was speaking about the chimes, these are chimes that are tuned to the tuning, the same solfeggio frequencies as the tuning forks that we've done. So that's what we've been doing, is just making those sound. And so the frequencies in the chimes are the solfeggio, same as the solfeggio tuning forks. Angel Sue does something else that I wanted to share with you, and I've asked her to do. In the past, we've had an astrologer that maybe kind of told us what was going to be happening for the week. And Angel Sue does something with angel cards, and she does readings. It's like she can do a reading for any of us, and is willing to do that if you would like to have a reading with her, why we can do that. But what I've asked her to do here on Stargate Roundtable is to just tell us from the cards that are drawn, what is it that you see for the week between now and next Thursday? So how do we need to do that, Angel Sue? I know that know what you do in a reading, how that you flip through the cards I would ask you to stop when I thought you were at the right place. How many cards do we need to pull?
Well, I'm thinking that we're just going to keep a simple little experiment this week.
Okay.
So who will agree, since Stargate Roundtable is so much anchored in through you? You're the one that has put this out to us for so many years. I was hitting on the Owati aspect, and if you'll just anchor in with that for all of us here, that we can focus in on what is needed for the planet this next 7 days.
Okay.
And then, after the weekend, we've got all that love energy from Valentine's Day, so the second card will represent that remainder of the week. And the last card is the special blessing for doing this. Will be calibrated and gifted with even more if we're already exemplifying it in our lives. So if all of us are compliant with this energy, and we've anchored in our wonderful wishes that we hold in our hearts and our souls. Marita, if you'll just ask me to stop, and I'll pull the first card when you think that that's the right energy for starting.
Okay, so
out.
Tell me when to start.
Okay, let's start now.
Stop.
Well, that's almost in the center.
And are you going to do another one now?
Yes, I'm getting the deck back together. I took it apart to remove the card. All right, let's start again. What is the second card?
Now.
Very good. And putting the cards back together. What is our third card for the gift?
Stop.
Okay. The energies that we're requiring planet-wide, inside, top side and above, is the card of abundance. And so we have a chalice here, the Holy Grail, one might think, filled with a beautiful golden elixir. And so if we will focus our energy, our intent, our yearning for endless flow of abundance, for ourselves and for all others. On the back of the card is, I receive, I receive, I receive all that I am given. And so, with our intent, we're inviting this in, that the floodgates be opened and that we can just give permission that the abundance will flow in the perfect way for every situation, that, you know, even the abundance is there before we are aware that we're needing it, that we can pay all the things that we need to pay. Let's get, you know, really serious about this. And things that we yearn to bring into our lives, a new concept, that this happens for us under the law of one for the highest good, and that it happens for all beings, all people, all places, all conditions, all things that need abundance as well, to bring forth heaven on earth now. Now, after Sunday, our day of celebrating love in our lives, we have the card with the Ankh on it, the Egyptian Ankh, and it's the card of illumina, or illumination. So the truth that will set us free as a planet to bring forth remarkable changes under the law of one. Here's the information on the back. Light I see, light I feel, light I am. So we ask that this come in and show us even more results for our planet, ourselves, all space and time, that the illumination of the truth that will set us free will be with us easily. And now for the gift that we can utilize. I really like this one. It's the card of peace. So we do have a rainbow and some beautiful clouds, and it's all in white and gold. So another dimension where that golden light can lift us all. Peace, all's well. On the back, the card says, my peace comes from knowing the world is changing, knowing that I am an angel, knowing that everything is happening as it should. So as that divine daughter, that divine son that you are, know that ye are gods as well. So we're creating this new dynamic here on the planet where all are healed, all are at peace, and all are living the most beautiful divine dream that we can imagine, and then flowing into even better things. How about that? A planet of peace, joy, and happiness. So we accept this gift. And if you're due, would you just put your hand over your breastbone and tap lightly as you think of this abundance, this illumination, and this peace, that it all flows into you, and that it with every aspect of who you are, that your higher self will manifest it easily and keep it going even without your conscious awareness. But we're claiming this for ourselves and for all others, Owati, now. So once again, we're saying all men, all women, all children, all beings, all creation, we are all one. And we're abundant, peaceful, and illuminated with the light, ever increasing. And so be it. And Marita Robert, I pass the talking stick. Thank you for holding the energy for us all.
Well, thank you. It sounds like we have something to really look forward here to this week with abundance and illumination and peace. That sounds pretty awesome to me. And if you would like to have Angel Sue do a reading for you, do you want to have them call me, or do you want to give a email or a phone number or something? What do you think is best?
I would prefer the email.
Okay.
So I'm not sure if you all are aware of it, but I spell Sue, S-U. So as Angel Sue, it's A-N-G-E-L-S-U at bellsouth.net. And I just simply ask for a love gift. I've gotten a maple leaf from the fall foil, well, the fall leaves in Maine, and I've gotten money as a gift, too, and it's all appreciated. It's whatever is possible in your heart to share. I'm grateful for that. So please don't hesitate, and we'll set up something over the phone, and we can do a reading with the angel cards or the spiritual pathway cards and the tarot cards, whatever you wish. So that's Angel Sue with no E on it at bellsouth.net.
Well, thank you, Angel Sue. I know you have a great a gift here to share with people, and I think that it's great that we can start our roundtable with the focus here of something to really focus with. And I do want to mention to everyone that's listening, I think I told you before that as the beginning of this year, the team that puts this together every week, we all met on with a phone conference and are choosing to know to have you call me and email me and tell me what you like, what you would like to see different, what we could add, or what how we can make this even better. So if you wish to do that, Stargate Marita, Stargate Marietta at Gmail, or you can call me at 317-773-0061. And we'll be meeting again on Valentine's Day in the evening to have another conference call to see, as we've gathered more information from our listeners, what they would like to come back together and share that. And now I know our dear little Rainbird is waiting to share the energies of the Mayan calendar. So, Angel, or Rainbird, can you still hear me?
I can, and I'll take that talking stick.
Okay.
Thank you. And so, greetings in the Mayan way. Here we are. We had a Chinese New Year on Monday, and the Mayan calendar day was a portal day, and it was a 12 shuan, which is the monkey. And so there's a little synchronization for you right there. I didn't mention it last week. I had forgotten it was the Chinese New Year on Monday. And when I noticed it was the 12-2, and I thought that was really funny. Because it is the year of the monkey in the Chinese New Year, and we did that. We celebrated that on a nice Mayan chewing monkey day. So a portal day at that. So today, we have a white lunar wizard, and that means it is a two each, lunar being the two-tone, and each being the wizard tone. And so we are in the wave of Ben. We started it yesterday. Ben is the Skywalker. The guidance with this wave is to be clear and follow through. This is our journey where we focus on our path and all the ways that we better ourselves. So just be on the path and be clear and follow through. That's the guidance for Ben. This is day two, the lunar day. So that day of polarity with that energy and unleash the wizard. So that's being in integrity and being impeccable. And magician energy, the visionary aspect, illumination for others is the task, and the clarity of mind and purpose. That's the task we have for the ways and for the day. And we have that gift of being sharpened and using that jaguar medicine and using our integrity and being in accordance with divine will to do our work. This is what gives us our power, and how we stay in our power, and it's how we work with our power, and with that power of love and that higher life. Let go of control and personal power issues and manipulation on this day. So there you go, today. And then Friday, a three men that equal another visionary aspect. And that three tone of activation is accentuating this one. So it's about our commitment to service and moving our consciousness to source and reconnecting with all creation. So let that be the order of the day tomorrow, with that good eagle energy, having that big picture. Have the gift of independence and your belief in yourself. Let go of feelings of despair, dissociation, and illusion of separateness. So, as we are committed to service and express it through our dreams and vision for the people, we do lightning games of quickening the people around us. So, be independent and believe in yourself. On Friday and Saturday, number 4, at self-measure tone, self-existing structure for that 4 tone on Saturday, and a seed, the warrior. And this warrior, trusting in your journey and bringing awareness of right action, it's time to communicate with the divine, and we have access to cosmic consciousness with this bliss. So work with that energy on Saturday. And then on Sunday, it's a 5-tone centered movement, harmonic. And that 5-tone is Kaban. Day is Kaban, that earth energy. So, beautiful day to be outside, working with healing the earth. It is Valentine's Day, so may earth be your Valentine on Sunday. As we are keepers of the earth and we have that awareness of earth energy, we hold that, and our gifts are accessing the planetary harmony. And being that balancing point and using our intuition. So let go of any dissociation. Really connect with the earth on Sunday on Valentine's Day and give her your love and share your love with her. And then on Monday, it's a purple day, and it's a 6 at and then Epsnob is the mirror, and it's about that reflection of ourselves. It's also a cutting tool. So sometimes it's a knife, the same word for knife. So either way, I like the mirror image. I think that we learn more by understanding this aspect in our lives than just about any other aspect, as we can only see ourselves and others. So the warrior aspect, and it's time to work on your groundedness and the wise use of honesty and self-understanding. Really, it's not very helpful for self-understanding. The gifts are scrying the unseen and fluidity.
Carolyn?
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can now. You've been gone for a few seconds here.
Oh, okay. My microphone different. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. So, that Monday is Etsnob. It's a portal day, very powerful. Use that day to do your work. And Tuesday, 7 Kawak, 7 being that magical point, the top of the mountain. It's that good place of resonance. So, Kawak is the storm energy. It's lighting clear thought. It's pretty powerful. And if you want it all happen in one moment, this is the one. A Kawak moment would do it. So that's on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday, it's an 8 Kahau, as we complete this third unial, the third month of this Tolkien, Kahau being that 20th glyph, and that rise to and that good sun energy. It is the sun, and it's about that rise to Christ consciousness and driving towards wholeness, transmitting energy to others. Lots of possibility thinking with this energy and unconditional love and the gods and discovering your God self. So work with that on Wednesday, and we come back on Thursday. We'll be starting a new unial, the fourth unial in Amish. Will be our first tone, I mean our first glyph, and it is the dragon or the mother, it's the artist aspect. It's about creation itself. So, very creative day on Thursday when we come back. Trust in the universe. Use your clarity of mind. And receive that. Receive the gifts from source, from creation, and understanding of these new beginnings. It is a new cycle. So, it's like a new moon, in a way. You're setting your intentions for the next 20 days. And then let go of any illusion of lack of support with this energy. So there you go. That brings us to the week, the good week. Portal days on Monday. And the rest of our regular every days. And Valentine's Day is the Kavan day of the mother. And there you go. I pass this talk today. Back to you, Maria.
Well, I thank you for giving us an update on that and helping us to understand what's coming up for the week. So with Angel Sue giving us the word on abundance and illumination and peace, and you giving us the Mayan, I think we have some direction here. And the next thing we'll do is pass the talking stick to Rama and Tara there and find out who you've talked to, Rama. And what do you see coming up for the week?
Greetings. I could just say that what we are seeing is this revolution of love that is pouring in right now. With all the things that are happening, moving the energies higher and onward and upward, and in spite of all the other stories, it is a very amazing and wonderful time to be in a body on this planet at this particular time. I got to talk with Lady Di and Natasha today, and they said that this phenomenon that's being reported about these two black holes colliding with each other is an event that is most unique and most auspicious at this particular time.
And yet what's really happening is that they're not colliding in that sense.
That's right.
Of bumping into each other. They're actually aligned with each other, and they formed a portal.
Yes.
And millions of mothers, people, Peshats, crystal people, bird tribe people, cloud people, even mothers, crocodile people, of the light. In other words, with whom they have remain neutral and aligned with the office of the Christ. And they are coming in on millions of crafts, entering the matter universe of Nabaddon.
Yes.
As a backup for the four musketeers, Mother, Michael, Maitreya, and Metatron.
Yes.
Who hold diplomatic immunity in our civilization's development. And as E.T. Corey has spoken of the Horus people, whom he has met with in the past few years.
These are the blue avians that he speaks of.
Yeah, they've met them at one of the councils as members of the Solar Tribunal Council, of which Lady Masternada is at the helm. These millions of mother's people are here to let the world know by soon fully revealing themselves, showing up as giant spherical craft, at least six city square blocks each in size, bringing the music and harmony of the spheres in with them.
Yes.
And in other words, that even as the main media tries to ignore it, there will be folks with their cell phones everywhere.
The millennials, the Indigo Crystal children, are going to pick up on this and take it to the internet. And let's say the media will follow suit because they're going to want to not be left behind.
Yes, and that's the same thing about the, it's weakening by the second, the hands of the controllers.
Oh, they... Yeah.
On everything, the debates and everything, it's...
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Old world hologram is so not functioning, yet it's functioning, metaphorically speaking, being held together by baling wire, crazy glue, and duct tape.
And Harry Belafonte, Al Sharpton, Ben Jealous,
Danny Glover,
I mean...
Bette Midler, all these people have come forward and supported Bernie, endorsed Bernie.
And to just clarify, because on Democracy Now, Amy did it very clearly, the Black Caucus... the Congressional Black Caucus, or CBC, did not endorse Hillary.
No.
The Congressional Black Caucus PAC, meaning Super PAC, which has Republicans in them, have endorsed Hillary.
And those...
It's like Bernie says, it's a huge difference.
And those tethers or umbilical cords go right back to Wall Street. And
there's some surprising words coming out from the foreign ministers of the West and others from Russia and the Middle East saying that there's some agreement that not necessarily a full ceasefire, but what do they call it?
A cessation of warring.
Cessation of, yeah.
Yeah.
In other words, they really want to stop the fighting, but they don't have a number of representations from the folks that are the groups that are on the ground.
The way I kind of heard this on the radio from BBC News is that Russia and Assad's forces had completely surrounded the city of Aleppo. Yet, you must understand what they are talking about fighting the Syrian rebels over there. The Syrian rebels are all the folks that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and all of our criminals in Congress went over there and said, here's the money. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And it is so ugly and convoluted because it brings it right back to what Bernie is talking about in the terms of Citizens United, getting money out of politics, money out of the entire political system.
It does require, though, that we replace all kinds of seats in Congress.
That's right. There's going to be this revolution of love, evolution. And I have heard stuff today basically saying 30 seats may be taken up and by the Democrats and replace the Republicans, but who
and
knows?
It will be progressive.
Yeah, it will be progressive. And overall, what we are looking at is, you know, as I'm looking at Hillary right now, you know, yada yadding up there, get this one in your bones. What she represents is Wall Street, and they are in bed until death or ascension, you know, whatever the case may be. Yet Bernie represents we the people.
Yes, and there is not.
I wanted to say something to you guys. I was just looking at something. It says Sanders' smile is genuine, but Clinton is hiding something. It's a body language expert that's saying that about them.
It is.
Absolutely.
You know, and everybody I talk to says, do you want another dynasty, whether it's Hillary or Ted Cruz or, you know, it is time for a complete revolution, evolution. Bernie represents something that has not happened since JFK stepped into the ring. And I'll just say it again. Jack will be back to tell his piece of the story because this is about full disclosure. That's why they killed a clone of JFK.
Yes, Rama had some things told to him from Tom the Cat that Cassius, he's mapped it out, and it's it's saying that Los Angeles is due for some serious earthquakes, and what Tom the Cat said is that Cash does not know what we know, meaning that
on a galactic
there's mitigation going on. Yet, as you were to look at the map, it's not. There's no doubt that. That's true.
And there are also, bear this in mind, folks, because the Pacific Rim of Fire is fully activated, and it's not just connected with all the seismic activity. This has to do with the 10th planet making its rotations, also Nibiru. All these factors are figuring in to why we're going through these shifts in evolutionary consciousness as well as physical consciousness changing in ourselves. And a lot of it has to do with the frequencies that are moving us onward and upward, with Nibiru being in proximity, so close to Earth. There are a lot of predictions about 3 days of darkness once again in March and April and yada yada. I'm just going to say ixnay. It's not happening. What is happening, though, is we are being literally propelled into the quantum field. So fast right now.
Expect the unexpected is the
deal. That's right, and it's about that revolution of love.
The status quo is busted.
Yep.
And let's just say, Kath was asking a little bit about Rama's condition, and Let's just say we've never met the doctor, although we've met him on the internet. And our brother Marshall is the one that has had direct experience with him. Yet you can see the vibration, and I just thought we'd just really quickly read him about him. Dr. Kevin Peterson is the founder of No Insurance Surgery, Inc., and Summerlin Surgical Associates, Inc., both of which are based in Las Vegas, Nevada. Dr. Peterson is a board-certified general surgeon and member of the American Hernia Society, a magnum cum laude graduate of the University of Utah Department of Physics. Dr. Peterson earned his medical degree with high honors at Tufts University in Boston. Dr. Peterson received resident surgery training at the UCLA Medical Center and completed a fellowship in organ transplant at Los Angeles County USC Hospital. He served as chief resident while completing his surgery training at the Chicago Medical School. He has participated in the training of medical students and surgical residents as an assistant professor of surgery at the Chicago Medical School, the Chicago School of Osteopathic Medicine, the Nevada School of Medicine, and Touro University of Nevada. His career experience is over 10,000 major surgical procedures, including 6,000-plus non-mesh hernia surgeries and 3,000 cancer operations and 4,000 other operations for treating a variety of life-threatening conditions. Dr. Peterson has a particular interest in non-mesh hernia repair and treatment of hernia mesh complications. He recently presented his results of hernia mesh removal for pain in Milan, Italy, at the first World Conference of Abdominal Wall Hernia Surgery. No Insurance Surgery is a program developed by Dr. Peterson that has the ability to deliver top quality surgery without the involvement of health insurance companies to patients who are uninsured or who choose not to use their insurance. No Insurance Surgery is built on the premise that surgery only requires a qualified surgeon, a quality surgical facility, and appropriate ancillary medical help. A health insurance company is in no way helping a surgeon provide surgery, or, for that matter, helps no physician take care of their patients. A doctor's participation with insurance is not a medical credential. It is in no way a reflection of a physician's medical qualifications. It simply means that the doctor has signed a contract with the insurance company, agreeing to accept a discount of his fees in exchange for access to patients which the insurance company controls, i.e. preferred network. Many of our finest hospitals and more physicians are choosing not to participate in insurance. Dr. Peterson has been performing surgery for uninsured patients for his entire 28-year career. Recently, the number of patients seeking this kind of care has dramatically increased, and in response to this, Dr. Peterson has formed No Insurance Surgery, Inc. Healthcare reform is currently a big topic in the news, and Dr. Peterson has been interviewed by print, radio, and television news outlets regarding No Insurance Surgery. And they have a media webpage for information and a video and et cetera. So recently, Dr. Peterson was recognized by the Review Journal newspaper as the most generous Las Vegan 2012 for medical charity work he is doing.
Gorgeous!
This is my dream bedroom.
Love the detail. And is this memory foam?
I know, I had so much fun putting it together. And the living room.
Hello?
What was that?
What was that?
I don't know. We had something coming in.
I am so sorry. I think I blew it there.
Okay. Okay, so everybody, thank you, and the generosity is completely in the flow.
We are so grateful.
Yes, and let's bring more and more, you know, send the word out more and more. And I think we're up to 3,500 or something in 3 days. So we are just grateful, yes.
Inshallah.
And don't worry, be happy. pass the talking stick back to you, Sister Maritza Robert.
Well, all the information is out there so that people can find you. And if you need help to connect with Taran Rama, you can always give me a call and I'll pass the information along. And I see that we already have our guest up here on Paige. Reverend John, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you, Marita?
I am good. He has had a very exciting last weekend at a conference that is near and dear to all of us. The people that were there, I know that most everybody will recognize all the names, and he had a chance to visit with them and to have lunch with them and spend just quality social time together. And so tell us a little bit about where you were and what all of this was about.
Okay, so Thursday of last week, I flew out to California to Ontario Airport, which is actually east of L.A., getting halfway close to the mountains outside of the San Bernardino Valley. And then from there, it was about an hour and a half drive, pretty much straight up to Big Bear Lake Mountain at an elevation of about 7,500 feet. And incredibly treacherous yet beautiful road. Beautiful mountains. You know, I live in Orlando, Florida. We don't have mountains. We don't have snow. It was rather incredible. You know, the temperature was in the 20s at night and in the 40s during the day, and it had snowed a full foot before I even got there. So there was snow absolutely everywhere. Did not snow the whole time I was there. The skies were perfectly blue, and it was the perfect backdrop for a perfect weekend.
Did we lose sound?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can now. You said a perfect backdrop, and then I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, I kind of wrapped it up with that. I got plenty more to talk about, though.
All right. Keep going.
Okay, so then the next morning, actually that evening, we ran into Jimmy Church. He was staying at the same resort in which we were, which was the Robin Hood and Nottingham's. And as soon as I got there, the first person I ran into was Jimmy Church's wife, Rita, who's actually the producer for his show, Fade to Black. And never met her before. Talked to her on the phone because I had been on his radio show prior to going up there. And first thing she did was give me a big hug and said, "Here, come on upstairs and meet Jimmy and, you know, all the Fader Knots." So I did, and everybody was having a great time, and Micah Hanks was there that evening. We all just got to sit down and talk to each other, and it was really refreshing. A couple things about this conference that really stood out to me is that it was the first one at Big Bear, and it was kind of surprising. It wasn't as busy as I thought that it might be. So the best part about that is I got to get up close and personal and have intimate conversations with absolutely all of the speakers. And, you know, you see them on TV, you hear them on the radio, and they have great personalities on the air. But I had the opportunity to meet them person to person and talk to them about UFOs and extraterrestrials, but also able to talk to them about things that had nothing to do with that whatsoever. And that was one of the best parts for me, is getting to know each and every one of them as a person and as a human.
Hello.
All right. So we're live. I'm with you.
Okay. I got, I can hear you now.
Okay.
So who were some of the other people that were there that you got to listen to their lectures and their and spend time with?
Okay. Besides Jimmy Church's wife, Rita, first I met Rita, who is the producer for Jimmy Church's show, Fade to Black. Then I got to meet Jimmy. And then Micah Hanks was hanging around also. And this was Thursday evening. And then over the course of the weekend, I got to meet Linda Moulton Howe, Mike Barra, Jason Martell, Richard Dolan, George Norrie, and Stanton Friedman, and Chase Kletsky. And those, all those individuals actually spoke. And then some other people that I met that didn't speak but were in attendance was a guy named Eric Johnson, who I believe is listening to your show right now. And he helped me to open a dialogue with Jimmy Church and Rita, and he actually got me on the Fade to Black show a couple weeks ago, just prior to going to the conference, which was incredibly awesome. And he actually had some free tickets. He called into the show and got some free tickets, and then he got a deal on a condo, and he lives in California. And he told me, he said, if you can just fly out here, I can take us to the conference because I want to go anyway. So that was a perfect opportunity to go. And thank you once again to my good friend Eric Johnson, who's been instrumental in my success. He purchased my book maybe close to a year ago now, which is Yahweh, the Biblical God is an Alien. And he read it. He enjoyed it. And I met him through social media, through Twitter. And we eventually opened up a dialogue over the phone, started talking to each other over the phone, and developed a certain rapport and friendship over the phone, which was, you know, was kind of unique in the day and age of social media and the internet. And it's amazing the people that you can meet online by way of computer. And often it's kind of strange to meet somebody you don't know, especially over a computer. But he had a good feeling about me. I had a good feeling about him. You know, I talked to him enough over the phone to know that he was just a good person that was into ufology, ETs, and UFOs just like I am. So, you know, after the experience, we hugged and, you know, thanked each other for each other's time together. And it was one of the best times I had ever had in my entire life by far. Absolutely incredible. I can go into each of the speakers and some of my interactions with them if you want me to go that route.
Well, I think people will enjoy, you know, people have heard about Whitney and Stanton and George Norrie and all of these people. So maybe tell a little bit about some of their presentations, what information that was might have been new to you, or just tell us a little more about the people that were there and what they presented.
Okay, so let's start with Micah Hanks. He was one of the first people that I met and the first speaker that I did hear. And he actually has the Graylian report, not the gray alien, but the Graylian report. And it's a pretty comprehensive website. Micah, if I had to make an educated guess, he's probably in his mid-30s, something like that, or he just looks really good for his age. He's incredibly intelligent, very well-read, incredibly dynamic and prolific speaker. He's very much into his research. So as much as he's into UFOs and extraterrestrials, he's all about, I don't want to use the word debunking, but he wants the evidence. He wants to know that, yes, in fact, this was an actual sighting, and here's the proof to document it. And if it's true, it's true, and if it's not, it's not. And, you know, he calls out different situations for what they are. But one of his stories that he had during his presentation, and I may not say this exactly correct, but he met with a friend of his named Susan, in which he stayed at her home, and she had mentioned that there was a triangular object over her house. And one of Susan's kids totally believes in UFOs, and the other one doesn't. And the one that doesn't said that it was probably a comet. which was kind of interesting because, you know, he's probably a teenager, but educated and intelligent enough to come up with his own opinion about what he thought he saw. And then the other kid, he believed that what his mom saw was actually a UFO. So it was pretty interesting to hear that kind of human interest story. And then he went into something to the effect of sightings that actually occurred before 1947 Roswell. And some of them to mention were the November 1944 Foo Fighters, 415 Night Fighter Squadron. Pretty interesting that he went that route. What happened before 1947? Then there was the Schweinfurt incident back in 1943, where more than 100 Air Force Base B-17s were lost. And then another such sighting in Scandinavia in 1946, which was called the Ghost Rockets. Then there was the Eric Malmberg report in 1946. J. Allen Hynek's Swamp Gas, the Edward U. Condon report out of Colorado, and the Peter Lavenda Friendship Islands UFO. And this is actually 1979 Chile. And where he is a brilliant researcher, you really need to visit his website if you're curious, the Grailian Report. The Grailian Report. He does updated news, and then he does podcasts also. And he's just an incredibly intelligent, well-read, and very, very thorough researcher. And then the next speaker was Chase Kletsky. And she was actually a biomechanics engineer for the Department of Defense. And now she's a MUFON investigator. She's one of the leading MUFON investigators in MUFON. And she was saying, one of the first things she said is that as a MUFON investigator, we don't only investigate UFOs that are otherworldly, but we also investigate the UFOs that our own governments are making to try to discern which ones come from outer space and which ones are more domestic here on Earth. And went on to say that trillions and trillions of tax dollars are being spent on these black ops projects every single year, and that we taxpayers are paying for it. And, you know, we don't even know it. You know, there's not like anybody can go and audit them and have transparency for their books so we can see what they're spending the money on. Then she went on to talk about Ben Rich, who used to work for Lockheed Skunk Works before it became Lockheed Martin, major defense contractor. And Ben Rich was quoted saying something to the effect, "We already have the means to travel among the stars. Anything you can imagine, we already know how to do." Another point that she brought up was the Reagan diaries. And I can go on into more of that later because Linda Moulton Howe went into that in great detail. Something interesting also, Donald Rumsfeld, right before 9/11, mentioned that $1.3 trillion was just missing from one of our budgets. That's kind of curious in itself. And then she went into what it's like to be an investigator and how there's a lot of disinformation out there, and that how, as an investigator, her field notes and her research methods are what gets attacked the most to try and, you know, make her look like she's not a credible researcher. And, you know, I've never studied her research reports, but just based on the way she talks, she's a very driven, not just woman, but person and investigator. And you can just see the passion and conviction in the way that she talks and the way she explains how she goes about doing her job. She did mention that 90% of cases are easily explainable, you know, with basically no evidence besides eyewitness reports. But what does that mean? That 10% of the cases are unexplainable, which lends itself to MUFON in the first place. One of her stories that she mentioned, which I found particularly interesting, she went to Chongos in Peru, where there's an ancient burial pyramid. And she was showing pictures of this on her slide presentation, that there was there was bones everywhere. And the mayor of Chongos came up to her and talked to her. And he was telling her of a UFO story about a disc craft that would actually take their water. It was very strange. The UFO would actually take their water. And he wanted Chase to tell the ETs to stop taking their water. And she was trying to explain to him that, you know, it doesn't work like that. I'm just an investigator. I don't have an open dialogue with the ETs. And what was kind of astonishing to her is that the mayor of Chongos, in that part of South America, it's common knowledge, apparently, that UFOs are coming to and fro from the Earth, and that he was surprised that it's not like that in the United States. And I found that to be incredibly interesting. You know, all of the speakers were pretty incredible in themselves. And then Linda Moulton Howe actually spoke twice. On the first day, she went over her book entitled A Strange Harvest, which showcased the cow mutilations in Denver back when she was a reporter working for a TV station. And on a side note, she was staying at the same resort in which I was, which was the Robin Hood, and Nottingham's, which is where the restaurant was. And after the conference was over Sunday evening, a number of us that went to the conference went to Nottingham's and watched the Super Bowl with Linda Moulton Howe. And since she used to live in Denver for 15 years, she was, of course, a Denver fan in the Super Bowl, and they won the Super Bowl. And it was just so incredible to be able to spend time with basically a legend in our field, you know, who paved the way for people like myself and other researchers, you know, across the country and across the globe. And I got to talk with her and have personal conversation with her. And she's the most beautiful angel of a person you'll ever meet, you know, whether you talk about UFOs or if you just talk about life in general. She's such a glowing, warm-hearted person. Anybody would like her if they just sat down and talked to her.
Reverend John, let me interrupt you here just a moment.
Yes.
What I'm thinking is that I did not give the phone number. If people would like to call in and ask questions about your experiences or what kind of, I mean, all of our listeners are very much interested in all the craft and the people that are involved with this. So if you want to call in, 888-429-5471. And this is free for the United States and Canada. So 888-429-5471. A second number would be 530-413-9537. So if you want to ask a question, just dial in and the station will tell me and we'll break in and say hello and see what kind of questions people might be coming up with here. And also I'll watch my sometimes I'm getting them on my email as well. Yes, I do have let's see. Looking to see if I have another question here. Not for right now. So go ahead. Thank you for letting me interrupt you, and I'll pass it back to you.
My friend Eric that picked me up from the airport in which we attended the conference together, he was asking me via text if he can call in. Yes, Eric, you can call in. He was with me the whole time. So he can lend some testimony to our incredible weekend also. And I see Eric's on line one.
Okay, Eric.
What's happening?
Speak up.
Can you hear me okay?
We can.
Okay, great. Yeah, I've just been listening to John, and just one of the things that was just so incredibly awesome is that, and I talked to Linda about this, I asked her, I said, you know, it was such an intimate setting because there was probably about 100 people there. She said usually there's 1,000 or 1,500 people at these conferences, so after the speakers would speak, they would go into this area in the back and sit down and eat and drink, and you could go and sit with them John and I sat with Linda for almost 2 hours and got to talk about things that you wouldn't normally get to talk about. And there was this one gentleman that was there that was from Dulce, New Mexico. He's an Indian, a real Indian, with his family. And they have a conference they're going to be doing coming up, I believe, in May with Linda also. And he told the most amazing story about what he saw on the Archuleta Mesa. We've all heard the story about what's going on the Archuleta Mesa. But the UFOs and the animal mutilations, and, you know, they're not supposed to talk about this, their heritage, their culture. They're not the type of people that go out and just speak about this. But if you get to know them and they trust you, they'll open up and tell you things. And some of the stories that we heard from people that were there, I would have to guess, John, what do you think? At least 80% of the people that were there were probably experiencers. What do you think?
I would have to agree completely. Yeah, definitely. Brian Vigil, V-I-G-I-L, we asked him what his Indian name was, and he said, well, let's just call me the chief. But when he would talk, Eric and I were there when he was pontificating about what was actually happening in the desert southwest with the star people visiting the Jicarilla Apache tribe in New Mexico. And he would first speak to us in his native tongue of Jicarilla Apache American Indian language, and then he would translate into English. Remember that, Eric? It was really cool.
Yeah, that was
touch.
Incredible. I got goosebumps just listening to him.
And you can tell that his language.
Tell the story, and I'll chime in if you'd like with anything that I can think of. It was just an amazing experience, though.
Well, you actually heard more of the story than I did. He was talking about Dulce, more specifically the Archuleta Mesa, and the activity that's going on underground there, that there's definitely a massive base that, you know, goodness knows how big that base is and what kind of operation is actually being conducted under there. But it's pretty clear, you know, if there was nothing going on, then you wouldn't see black helicopters with no signage or any kind of identifying marks on these helicopters flying in and around that area all the time. And they are doing a conference, I believe it is in Dulce. I believe it's in the month of May.
I think it's the 15th, the 14th, 15th. And let me just chime in. I got so close with this guy, and I said, you know, I'd like to come, but I might need a place to stay. And I said it kind of jokingly, and I said, can I come and stay on the reservation with you and your family? And I had spent, over the period of 3 days, every day I'd spend time talking to him, and he said, yes, you're welcome. So he actually welcomed me. So if I decide if I can make it to the Dulce New Mexico conference, he's going to let me stay on the reservation, because I have not yet seen a UFO personally, but I totally believe that they exist. So it would be a dream to be able to go there and be able to see something that maybe I'll never get a chance to see ever again in my life. Because they are apparently still seeing them even to this day. This isn't just something that happened 15, 20, 30 years ago. There's activity still happening to this day there, he said.
Someone is just text here asking, what tribe is this Native American from?
The Jicarilla with a J. J-I-C-A-R-I-A, something to that effect. Jicarilla Apache Indian tribe.
Okay.
I've seen some of their elders interviewed on the show Ancient Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And every single Native American Indian in those tribes has seen UFOs, and many of them have actually seen and come in contact with the star people. And a number of the elders in the tribe actually communicate with them telepathically.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling us, Brian was telling us of things that are coming down the pipe that are going to start to unfold in the next couple years. And he did mention the incredibly strange weather that we've been having globally. You know, 2015 was the hottest year on record in over 100 years globally. Another term by the actual Hopi tribe is called Koyaanisqatsi, which means that the earth is in a state of imbalance. They have their temples and their stone monuments built to mirror Orion and other star constellations. And inside some of these caves that accept the sunlight on the winter solstice, which is December 21st of every year, they have kind of a mandala in the middle where the sun actually hits, going down maybe 100 foot or more cave. And then on the back of the very back of the wall of the cave, we'll have this mandala, and a sun dagger will slowly go through the middle of the mandala unless the earth is in a state of imbalance. And these sun daggers are not going through the middle of the mandala. They're going either to the far left or to the far right, which means that there's also something with the tilt and the wobble of the earth where we need to get the balance and the alignment of the earth back on track again. And he alluded to that, and that there was a sacred number that plays into sacred geometry, which was the number 12. And if you think of how influential the number 12 is in our lives right now, you know, there's 12 hours in the day, there's 12 hours in the night, there's 12 inches in a foot, there's 12 signs of the zodiac, there's 12 months, 12 in, a
months
year.
In a year.
I mean, and on and on and on. There was 12 tribes. There was 12 tribes in Israel, which were actually represented on the mitre plates that the high priest used to talk to God through the Ark of the Covenant. There's so much mysticism to the number 12, and he was alluding to that, how it plays into his culture and to star people, which I found incredibly interesting.
And then just to segue, maybe you could talk more on this if you'd like, but another thing that I found fascinating, there was a lady there that was selling these beanies and wallets and things of that nature, that she would sit there, and I would, you know, I would sit back there with her because I was, she was letting me use her phone charger to charge my cell phone. So we would start talking on the break, and she opened up and told me some things that were pretty amazing. She has a son who, this is in New Mexico also, who, this is going to probably sound crazy to some people. I mean, Area 51 is still operational. And her son, at 19, I don't remember exactly how she explained it, but he was recruited, or he somehow was hired by whoever hires people to work at Area 15 to become a heavy machine, one of those huge, giant, heavy machines that they use to move dirt and earth around. He was hired and trained through a three-month course and now works at Area 51. I think he's 22 now, but he makes $160 an hour. But he is not allowed to discuss with his family or his mother or anybody what exactly he does or sees there. But he does, I mean, it is a fact that he works there and he does make this money. And then his mother also was telling me a story. This is right there, not too far from where we were staying at Big Bear, probably an hour or two drive away. They have sightings. I can't think of the name of the city off the top of my head, but they have sightings there regularly. Because they live in an area where it was built on an ancient Indian burial ground. She told me a story one night where her and her family were driving down the street where they live, and the school was off to the right, and there were other cars that were coming up and down the street. And all of a sudden, above the school, and this just happened within the last few years, massive lights just down upon the school lit up the whole school, and they pulled over. So, I mean, I don't know if this is, you know, back-engineered government craft or what it is, but just the story and the way she told it, she actually started to cry and break up when she told the story. So I knew she wasn't making it up. I could tell by looking at her face and her eyes that she was being very sincere. She said she's writing a book, so she didn't want to tell me too much of the details. But just the stories that were told were just incredible. That's what I really love the most about the alien snow stuff. I'll let you go from there, John. I just wanted to add that in there.
No, and her name was Tracy. Really nice lady. I got her contact information because I want to have her on one of my podcast or shows sometime in the near future. And I want her to expand upon that very story that you just brought up. But speaking of bringing something up, on the very first day of the conference, Dr. Edgar Mitchell passed away. And ironically, I'm a volunteer and have been a volunteer for the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Free Foundation, which stands for the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. And was it a coincidence? It could have very well been, but I really don't think that it was. And so the night I got home, which was Monday of this week, I was incredibly tired from all the traveling. And I think I was telling you earlier about this, Marita, where I'm tired, but I just had this second wind and I could not sleep. So I just stayed up and I meditated. And at 2:48 a.m. in the morning, whenever these things happen to me, I always catalog the day and the time and everything. Either I was imagining things or he came to me and said that he's needed on the other side. And he was going to pass eventually, but he passed on the day that he did because it was meant to be, and that he's needed on the other side for many reasons. But one of the main reasons is to help usher in disclosure the right way. And so what do you mean by the right way? Well, if disclosure is going to be brought to we humans by way of a dark, malevolent alien force, then I'm sure everybody in the world that wants disclosure will not want it to happen if it's going to be done through dark forces. So Dr. Edgar Mitchell said that he basically is working with a group of angels and ETs to make sure that the right benevolent faction of aliens is involved with our world leaders in disclosure, which according to him is going to happen either this year or by the balance by the end of 2017. So when this all happened, I just sat there and wrote everything down and meditated on it some more. But I do know that he was needed on the other side. And I know that he's instrumental as a light worker to help we humans on the 3D Earth plane in our current existence right now.
John, let me ask you, I'm guessing you're going to talk about your experience at the experience of speaker. Have you already done that?
I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, well, let me just add a prelim to that, and then I'll get off the phone. But I don't know if you mentioned it, Whitley Strieber was just popped in at the Alien Snow Fest. Was that Saturday or Sunday when he showed up?
I think it was Sunday.
I think it was. He just came in because his wife has died recently, and he just didn't want to hang out. I guess he didn't want to sit around at home, so he drove up the mountain and sat next to Linda Moulton Howe, and I got to sit next to him, and we talked a little bit about MUFON and his feelings about MUFON, which were not, they weren't glowing reports on that. But anyway, and I don't know if we talked about this, John. We might have. I can't remember. We talked about so many things. And this will lead into your story later that you're going to talk about. But he talked about an experience that he had a long time ago with the blue people. And when he told me that story, and then I automatically correlated it to what you're going to talk about, I got goosebumps. My hair is on my arm, just rose up. I'm going, this is real as far as I'm concerned. I mean, this is not just somebody making up a story. So I'll just leave that at that, because what happened with you at Experience with Speak with the 20 witnesses and Travis Walton and everything, this, if anybody listening right now, stay tuned, because this is quite a story you're going to get to hear.
Well, thank you, Eric, for sharing some time, and sounds like you're making me wish that I had known about this and that I was there. This is so exciting to hear. We're all very much interested, and of course, I've had a lot of experiences here too. So, thank you for sharing, and you can stay as long as you want.
Okay, I'll just hang on, but I'll let John talk because it's his interview. But I'm excited. I'm glad he got to call in, and I'll let him tell the story because he's the first-hand experiencer. I was just tagging along for the ride.
You know what's really interesting is right when I was talking about Dr. Edgar Mitchell's Free Foundation, I got an email from one of the co-founders, and his name is Ray Hernandez. And Ray, I'm pretty sure, does not realize I'm on this show right now. And he sent me an email regarding the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Free Foundation. And one thing that this foundation has done, it's done the most comprehensive study with experiencers in world history with the most questions. And there's four phases to the actual study. And he's asking me to talk about phase four survey on ethereal psychic contact. And it's a quantitative survey and a qualitative survey. Anyway, but that happened. You know how there's no such thing as coincidence. I'm pretty certain that he did not realize that I was on this show right now. I was just talking about Edgar Mitchell, and lo and behold, I get this email about their fourth phase of this comprehensive study. And this one, once again, is called the ethereal psychic contact phase, which is phase four of the survey. I've actually done phase one and two of the survey. The first one is over 700 questions, takes a number of hours to do it. And I did phase one and phase two. I'm yet to have done phase three and phase four. But they have the research findings for phase one and phase two, and they're all crunched and broken down into pie charts. And it's incredibly interesting. And at some point, Marita, if you want me to send you those reports, I can do that. I'm sure that Ray Hernandez would want me to do so. And I'm sure that's why he sent this to me just now.
Okay. Yes. I gladly accept.
Okay. I'm going to send it to a lot of people. Once I get the green light, I'm going to send it to everybody that's interested in receiving it. So Whitley Strieber just shows up out of nowhere. I asked Jimmy Church. I end up hanging out with Jimmy Church and his wife every night after the conferences and got to know him pretty good. And I said, did you know that Whitley Strieber was going to show up? He's like, oh, yeah, I just didn't tell anybody. Just kind of wanted to surprise everybody. And I was sitting in the second row, and Whitley Strieber was sitting in front of me off to the side diagonally, and he looked familiar. I wasn't putting it together because I didn't expect him to be there. And I think it was Richard Dolan was speaking at the time. And after Richard was done, Whitley got up and everybody finally figured out that he was there and everybody wanted to get a picture with him. And so I waited my turn and I got a picture with Whitley. And he shared a few minutes with me. He wasn't at the conference the whole time, but he was there for that particular day. And he was warm and inviting, and anybody that wanted to come up and talk to him, he was more than happy to talk to them. And it was interesting that he was on Jimmy Church's show, Fade to Black, the other night, and I tuned in to listen. And he talked about his experiences as an abductee, and it was very interesting that his experiences mirror mine very, very closely. And he also mentioned the Blue People. And his experience with the Blue People, it was different, but yet it was very similar. And that also there's a number of Indian tribes that hold the Blue People sacred to them in their ancient legends and lore and the verbal traditions that they hand down to their children and grandchildren, which I found very interesting. Eric helps me to open a dialogue with Jimmy Church. And actually, I call into his show and we talk about 10 minutes. And when it's during a commercial break, he's like, hey, man, this is really good stuff. I'm going to let you go, but let's get you on the show. So he got me on the show within 5 days, which was great because I know he can be booked up for like 6 months at a time. And we did the show about the Blue People where I conducted a seance at Experiencers Speak 4 on August 28th of last year. And four human-looking extraterrestrials, two that definitely had blue skin. There was over 20 witnesses to this event, which in my opinion makes it one of the biggest events in world history as far as people seeing extraterrestrials in a human setting. We were at a conference, and they opened a dialogue with Travis Walton, and then after Travis Walton was done with his presentation, they came up to me and started talking to me. and did the mind meld on us, did the Jedi mind trick on us, and made probably 15 out of 20 or more of us that saw them start to lose time and forget some of the details of what actually happened. And this story I told every single speaker at the conference. I told everybody I could. And what surprised me, a lot of them already knew about it, and I didn't realize how much this story is starting to take off. And I had talked to some people about, you know, I'm putting together a book. My first book, Yahweh, the Biblical God is an Alien. My next book, I'm not going to say exactly what the title is, but the one thing they did acknowledge is that they were from the Pleiades. One of the witnesses, his name was R. Keith Andrews, or Keith Andrews, and he straight up asked them if they were Pleiadian, and he said yes, that they were. And it's interesting that a number of people that have seen the blue people say that their origins are from the Pleiades. And Whitley Strieber said something to that effect when he was on Jimmy Church's show the other night. So I found that all very, very, very interesting.
Now, I've had, Robert and I have always had a lot of connection to the Pleiades. In fact, Robert would, he could walk out any time of the year and point up to the sky. I mean, he would just go out and point, and he'd be pointing at Pleiades. I mean, it was just, but I haven't had the experience of the blue yet.
This whole thing, to me, was premeditated. It was planned. It was definitely not an accident. All 20 of us or more witnesses, I think, were actually hand-selected to be able to enjoy this experience. And for a number of reasons, they knew that we would talk about it. They knew that I would go on, and not just me, that Keith Andrews, Audrey Starborn Hewins, who put together Starborn Support International and the Experiencer Speak Conferences, we all three were the key witnesses, and that not just us, but everybody involved, and of course, Travis Walton, the most famous abductee in perhaps in world history, we were all hand selected to be a part of that experience and that encounter. And it has changed all of our lives forever. Absolutely. Just changed our lives forever. There's not a day that goes past that I don't think about it at length. Hey, Marita, am I still with you?
I'm here.
I'm here.
I'm listening, but the connection occasionally drops for a second or two, but then it comes back on, and it's very clear, just so you know, from a listener's perspective, what's happening.
Oh, I think that we're touching on some sensitive energy here that can often affect any kind
of... Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you perfect.
Yes.
I was gone for just a moment, but I'm back here. And did somebody else have a question here that I could only hear a little bit?
This is just Tara. I was just saying that I feel like we entered another dimension here. You've been talking for a while, and the energy has moved to another time-space relationship.
Right.
I just wanted to note that. I don't know if you feel it, John.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. You know, the spoken word creates energy and provokes energy that is already out there to manifest itself. So, yes. What did you feel?
Well, I just felt like a non-earthly tone, vibration. And we're still there. There's an amazing sliver of the moon smack dab in the middle of the window right now. You know, from that new moon, it's huge. It's like the presence of a change that's real. That's, you know, the energies keep going up, the vibrations keep going up, and we just tapped into a real-time experience of it. It's still going on, yeah. So I don't know if we've got some more visitors.
During the Super Bowl, we were sitting next to Linda, and this was kind of wild, too. I don't know if people listening saw the halftime show, but she was talking about love. Everything was about love with Linda. And then when the halftime show came on, it was all about love. And she was also commenting that she said it more than just two or three times, that this year, 2016, is a very huge and pivotal year. And she wanted to, and she didn't just say it once or twice. Throughout the weekend, I heard her say it several times. So I'm feeling that this is a very big, this 2016, maybe even 2017, there's a lot of shifting that's going to be happening. It's going to be noticeable, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, the number for 2016 is the number 9, and it's a completion of cycles, huge cycles of love, like all the lifetimes synergizing, and, you know, we can heal a lot of stuff this year. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really important that we pay attention to that, because, as you say, it's a time for completion and the opportunity to finish things. And when we do the numerology, if we don't finish things in a 9 year, then sometimes we have to wait a while until we have that opportunity again. Maybe in a 3 year, but you can kind of finish up some stuff. But we definitely don't want to wait another 9 years to be able to complete this stuff. We want it now. So
yes, sir, ma'am.
Pay attention, huh?
Yeah.
This sounds like such a fun place to have been. It's just I've missed having that opportunity. Robert and I used to be in a lot of those places a lot of times, and I haven't had as much of that, I guess, since he's made his transition. His birthday was the 9th on Tuesday, and was very present. And so it's interesting that we're talking about all of this. And as I say, many of my experiences were when we were out at Tonopah and when we were in Arizona and at some of the UFO conferences and things there. That was way back there. That was in 75, 76, spring of 76, I guess, was probably the last time we were there. But to have so many of the people that are still involved in stuff were just beginning out there at that time, too. So it's all very exciting.
I don't know if you mentioned, John, they're having another one. It's going to be called the Alien Mountain Fest, I believe, in August.
Yeah, August 19th, 20th, and 21st. Yes.
And where is it?
It's worth it. People flew in from Australia, all over the country to go to the one that John and I were at. And I'll tell you, if you could figure out a way to get there, you won't regret it. That's all I got to say on that.
Where is it going to be?
Big Bear Lake, California. It's about an hour and a half outside of downtown Los Angeles. If you fly into the Ontario Airport, which is a beautiful airport, and it's not crowded at all, it's easy to get in and out. From there, if you know where you're going, which we do now, should we tell the story about?
Yes.
I was getting stuck on the freeway and pulling over, and if you want to tell that story, John.
It's dark and the construction is really bad and the signs are not easy to read. And Eric is I love you, brother, but he's basically blind. So, and he's trying to read the directions off of his tablet safely, mind you, but while we're driving, and we were supposed to get off on 210 and we didn't. And so we see a truck off to the side of the road, and Eric's like, let's pull over and ask him. And it was a Mexican family, and their tire was completely destroyed. I mean, there was hardly any rubber on this tire, and they took all the lug nuts off of it, but they couldn't get their jack to work.
Oh.
And so, well, and so Eric's like, God, we can't just leave them now. And I'm like, just go. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, it was cold. It was windy. We just wanted to get to Big Bear. We took a wrong turn, and we both decided, you know what? We got to help these people. So Eric gets his jack out of his truck, and his jack worked. Thank God. And you know, once we finally figured out that their jack wasn't going to work and that his jack was going to work, you know, the whole thing took like 4 minutes. And then we had the new tire on, and, you know, off they went on a completely bald tire. I hope they didn't get another flat.
Yeah.
But that was our good Samaritan thing for the day to do. And I think the whole thing took us maybe 20, 30 minutes out of the way. And then before we knew it, we're approaching the top of Big Bear, and we see this cat, and it looked like an orange tabby kind of cat. And as we got up upon it, we could have hit it. We weren't going to, but we were that close. We could have ran it over, and we slowed down, and it turned out it was an orange lynx. I'd never seen anything like that at all. And that reminds me, I need to go to my animal spirit book and look that up and see what that means, because I know you know that when you see animals like that you've never seen before, it means something. And Eric's a cat lover. I think he's got 5 cats. So that was no accident that happened, that's for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. That cat connection has
I'm getting a lot of information about that. I'll talk to you about it off the air here.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
Were you saying earlier, John, that you felt that the conference was light, that it wasn't as heavily there weren't a lot of people there as there would normally be? What were you saying about that?
I think that the newness of it was a big part of it. You know, they hadn't had a Big Bear Lake Alien Snowfest conference ever before. Sometimes it takes a few years for this to catch on. And, you know, I mean, unlike Contact in the Desert, which is just out of control busy, or the, you know, the UFO Congress, the Conscious Light Expo and things like that, they've been around for a while and people know about it. And all the internet information is so readily available and abundant also. But, you know, I mean, I wish that they had drawn more people because it would have generated more revenue. But the fact that it was kind of not very busy, it enabled Eric and I and other attendees to get up and close and personal with all these people that are iconic in this field, that are basically my heroes, and that I learn. And I tell you what, every one of the speakers there, with the exception of maybe one of them, was in the credits in my book, because they helped me, they were influences for me to write my first book. And they're going to be influences in my next book also. So that's an invaluable experience that you can't trade anything for.
That's very interesting.
Can I tell the quick story about Stan Friedman? Stan Friedman, are your listeners familiar with Stan Friedman? I'm guessing they probably are. Stan Friedman from been around for, what, 81 years now?
Yeah, and you read my mind. I was going to talk about him next, but go ahead.
I'll just tell you that I was kind of, I don't know if intimidated is the word, but he was sitting over there during the first several days, and he had his books out there, and I just felt weird. I didn't want to go up and talk to him because I didn't know what to say. And then finally Saturday night rolled around, and they had the mixer, which was all the guests were there and hanging out, mixing with the people like you and I and the other people that were there to listen. And so I just got the courage up, and I went over, and I sat next to him in the chair, and he had all his books laid out, and nobody was really around. So I was trying to figure out, what can I do to make break the ice with this guy? So I said, are you hungry? And he says, yeah, kind of. So I said, well, let me get you a menu, because, you know, you can order whatever you want and it's free. He says, yeah, I know that. I said, okay, well, let me grab the menu. So I ran and grabbed the menu, brought it back, and he's looking at the menu, and he goes, this orange chicken looks really good. I says, well, you know what? Let me get that for you. So I went and got the, you know, went and ordered the orange chicken and came back and I got one too. So we're both eating the orange chicken and we're both commenting how excellent the food was, by the way. And so this guy walks up, and this is one of those stories you might have to be there to appreciate, but he walks up with his buddy, and he's looking at all the books on the table. He's not looking at Stanton. He's just looking at the books on the table, and he picks one up, and he's kind of looking at it, and he puts it down. He picks another one up, and he's looking at it, and he's looking at the book, and he's looking down, and he looks up at Stanton, and he says, "Who's Stanton Friedman?"
I remember that.
So Stan Friedman didn't say a word. It was just like a shock because I don't know. I don't think the guy was joking. I think he was that unaware of who Stan was. So I says, "This is Stan Friedman. This is the guy that wrote all these books." So I says, "Have you ever heard of Johnny Carson or David Letterman?" He goes, "Well, yeah." He goes, "He's like the Johnny Carson or David Letterman of his industry. He's been around forever. He's written all these books. He's one of the original investigators from Roswell." But anyway, that kind of broke the ice, and I was able to spend time then and talk to Stanton. And, you know, I didn't want to ask him any questions that were going to annoy him, but I did want to bring up the question about Bob Lazar because he had actually been asked that question during the conference because they allowed people to raise their hands in the audience after they were done speaking that they had questions, and they would answer the questions. But, you know, one of the things that with Bob Lazar was that they never could find or produce the records of his college, MIT, and his schooling. And, of course, you know, the speculation is that those records were hidden or squashed or eliminated by whoever, you know, the secret government is. I'm just guessing. But anyway, so, you know, he said he had nothing but nice things to say about Bob Lazar. It's just that because he's got such a scientific mind, he's a nuclear physicist, he wants facts. So if he can't see the facts, then he's not going to put the 100% credibility nod on somebody. But it was nice that he was able to say some nice things about Bob Lazar, but not put him down because he didn't have evidence of the schooling record. So anyway, that was a little story that I just wanted to share about Stan Friedman. He's a very nice man. At 81, he's sharp as a tack. I mean, he's got his wits about him. He knows what he's talking about, and he's got a great sense of humor. Just for those of you out there who are curious or have never met him before, I decided to share that.
Well, this sounds like a very, very fun thing to do, and we'll have to make sure that we announce it here when they do the next one. You think there'll be one in April, did you say?
August.
Okay. I got the A, but I didn't get the rest. So August 19th, 20th, and 21st. Okay. Well, we'll try to make sure that we can let people know, and hopefully be an opportunity for to meet with some people and to share stories. That's a fun thing to do.
I was just going to ask you, gentlemen, did you notice that leak? Were you aware of it, that leak that's going on in L.A. area?
Leak, L-E-A-K, leak?
Yeah, there's this huge methane gas leak.
Oh.
I haven't heard about
that. Out of the ground?
Yes, out of the ground. It's near Porter Ranch. I don't know the location from where you're talking about.
And is that because of the drilling that they have done for the gas?
Well, it's been going since October, and it's been releasing like tens of thousands of tons of this stuff, and it's super lethal, and it's got all kinds of other chemicals that are fracking chemicals coming out of there. And it's something about they didn't put the proper safety valve, and the pipes are very, very old, and they said they just can't fix it until April, maybe.
Why is April? Why would it be able to fix it? It's just like it's supposed to wear itself out by then, so there won't be so much activity?
Well, I can only sense things because I think that they're trying to get around the law because they did some terrible violations that caused it in the first place. And I think they're also kind of scared because they're sitting on a time bomb.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they said they had some effort to try to plug it today, but there's already wrongful death lawsuits. People have died, and there's like 4,000 or 5,000 people. They had a mass evacuate. There's all kinds of children getting sick and people getting sick, and they can't see it without the ultraviolet. You know, that's why people that don't know what's going on just don't notice it. But I just was wondering if you could tell, you know, if I guess you couldn't because you obviously didn't know what was going on, but it's very serious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also, you know, just having some kind of a grounding between, you know, just ignoring it and being aware of, you know, the ramifications. Dr. Keshe was just saying that there's the what do you call that earthquake zone? The begins with
subduction.
The subduction zone is totally activated, and that there's two more fault lines there that are interacting with the one they know about from Diablo Canyon, and the whole situation has come up again as being extremely unstable. So, you know, since you're around all this galactic energy, it'd sure be nice to hear more about it and maybe what they're doing to help mitigate this stuff. I mean, we heard some stuff, but it's like there's a gap between what we know that this could mean and what there is in the form of intervention to assist and to mitigate something that could endanger. I mean, the outer layers of LA, how many? 20 some million people? That's a rather large implication. So,
well, you know, it's just, it's like they haven't been allowed to intervene, and yet we know that that's what's needed. And that's, and there, what was the, was the, something was signed in the Vatican this last week? Did you and Rama hear about that?
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Some kind of, with Christine Lagarde.
Yes.
And I would just say everything that has been talked about concerning her and Mr. Francis, you take it all with 3 grains of salt because it is that there's a whole nother layer of things going on that
there is intervention. It's not that that's not that they haven't been allowed to intervene. That's not exactly the, because they have the power to intervene since 1945. They have been intervening because we violated the Prime Directive by nuking two countries, I mean two cities. Yet the level of concern has kind of vaporized, you know, in terms of what's been going on with that area. And Marita, I don't think you can hear, but there is, I think it's Eric, but there's somebody that's been trying to talk and then you can't hear him and then they just be quiet. So I just was hoping that maybe that person, is that you, Eric, that was trying to say something that we didn't get to hear?
Well, I had said that we had, Commander Rendy had texted me and said that he had done the survey, and he was happy to hear that what you were talking about with that. Also, that he's had 6 years of missing time, and he was born early, and so he said he had he sent me some information that they sent back to him after he did the survey that you were talking about there. And so I haven't opened that up yet because I'm on my phone with that. But
Yeah, but Rita, there's somebody else that was talking just when you, I don't think you can hear him, but he was trying to say something again and then you didn't hear him.
Eric was on here for quite a while, but I think it looks like he's dropped off.
No, he's talking right now, and every time see if you can hear him. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I was going to comment, if you can hear me now, but after I dropped off John at the Ontario airport, can you hear me right now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you were talking about the leaking and the gas, and I have not heard about it. I don't watch the news, so maybe that's why, but I did notice I was driving north going to San Luis Obispo, in the area of San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, which is central California, and the sky, you know, usually if you're in a city and there's a lot of smog, the sky tends to be kind of this brownish color. And I swear to you, the color of the sky was like a greenish yellow haze. It wasn't brown. It wasn't gray. It was like a greenish, it was almost like a nuclear haze that was over the city of L.A. because I'm coming down off the mountain after I dropped John off, going towards L.A., and I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, I've never seen pollution this color before. So I'm just thinking that maybe that's leaking into the air, and that's why the pollution color was not your typical brown, but the greenish yellow color that I saw.
Yeah, it's serious. It's really serious. And Rama was saying he heard something today that they tried to plug it today. But I still think that as you have been in the area, just see if you can check a little more and see if you can find more out about it. It's been all over the networks. And I know if you don't watch, then you don't watch. But, you know, we're in these times where it is an important thing to be as tuned in as possible, and especially if you're in contact with a lot of folks that are communicating with the other side, you know, like because I know they're doing everything in their power to make a smooth transition right now, because there's a lot of malintent and there's been a lot of uncaring behavior to cause something like that. I know that. The discussion is that they've been trying to cover it up and not get in trouble, and they're already way in trouble over their third eye, just like up there in Flint, and there's all kinds of stuff going on across this country. So I was just concerned, and I thought maybe I'd check. If you see a local alien somewhere, just ask them.
If you have a few more things that you'd like to mention, we'll go ahead and let you do that, and then we can close out for tonight. We're not on a strict time schedule here, but don't want to delay this too much longer. But if you have some more experiences you'd like to share, and then how about if you want to give your contact information so that if people want to learn more about your books or contact your the methane gas leak in LA area has been fixed, has stopped. This is from somebody at Anacal, A-N-N-C-A-L-I-F. I don't know who that is. But, and there's another one that's just come in here. The methane gas leak in LA has been stopped. And this is Rachel Maddow has said this, announced tonight that the leaking in gas was successfully redirected to an underground pipe that was placed there in an attempt to fix the problem.
Well, hallelujah. Thank God.
So that, I'm trying to keep track of all the texts and the emails that are coming in here. Now, what about, did somebody ask about Porter Ranch?
That's where it was happening.
Okay. It's 94 miles west of Big Bear Lake.
There we go.
18 miles north of Hollywood.
Okay.
So
thank you, all you Western Californians.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for texting me and giving us this information. And this is truly what Roundtable is like, when we all help each other and everybody contributes the information that they have. That's exactly what we like to have here. So grateful for your participation. And Randy, I'll look a little more at what you've written about your 6 years of missing time and coming in early on your birth, and maybe that was part of the process too. So it's like there's a lot of people that are relating and connecting in with what we're speaking about tonight. So.
John Polk gone, or is he still there?
I'm still here. I was just, I didn't know anything about this methane story, so I just kind of sat back and listened. One thing I do know is that as important as our planet is to us, it is equally important to extraterrestrials. This blue dot in the Milky Way is so important because of the amount of life that we have on this planet. You know, I mean, we're 70% water. Our bodies are 70% water. All of the life in the oceans, all of the life that's microbial, bacterial, all the life that is actually in the air that we cannot see, even waves, including the Van Allen belts, which are basically alive, that are protecting our planet. Our planet is so important to extraterrestrials. That's why there's been a number of incidences where ET has actually taken our nuclear weapons offline if they thought that we were going to use them. And not just in our country, but in countries around the world. This has been a common practice of ET to, you know, basically mess and tamper with our nuclear systems to make sure that they know how to turn them off if, in fact, we want to turn them on and engage them. I think that's very important. If we mess up the kilter of our planet, we throw off the balance of our solar system, and that throws off the portals and the wormholes also. We have to have cohesiveness, and we have to have balance and harmony within the Earth's spirit for them to be able to traverse from one dimension to another. If anything messes with those portals, their ability to use the stargates will be compromised. So it's something very important, not just to us, but also to ET. And ET has protected us before during the time of nuclear meltdowns. And thank God that they did. Otherwise, parts of Russia and Asia and different parts of the world would be going through nuclear holocaust as we speak. So, you know, thank God for ET stopping us from destroying our planet, you know.
There just today we were reporting earlier that there's a new portal that just formed by two black holes, you might say aligning.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so they're using it, and that's what. It's true that they've been intervening since we dropped those nukes in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and it's coming to a close now. They have had intentions to use them right now, and they have been stopped. They have been stopped.
Yes, I believe that we would have gone through a nuclear World War III a number of years ago if ET did not intervene.
That's right.
So thank goodness that, you know, and they don't always have our better interest in mind. But the one thing that is unanimous across the board, even amongst the alien factions that are fighting over our future right now, is they don't want us to kill this planet's spirit. We kill this planet's spirit, and it really kills a big part of this part of the Milky Way galaxy, and especially our solar system. So it's very important that they are definitely on board with helping us try and save our planet. It's important to them too. Plus, they have bases on our planet everywhere. You know, we go to destroy our own planet, we're going to destroy a lot of their underground bases as well.
A couple things I wanted to mention. You were mentioning we're getting closer to the end. Stanton Friedman was presented with a Lifetime Achievement Award by George Noory at the Alien Snowfest conference. And I think I sent you some pictures of that, Marita.
But, yes.
It was a monumental moment in ufology history. In world history, nobody has talked on television about UFOs more than Stanton Friedman. And he's an icon and a great messenger for all of us that are in this field. And without him, a lot of us wouldn't have a career in this field either. So my hat's off to Stanton Friedman. It was the third time I got to meet him. And, just like Eric said, he's still sharp as a tack and gives brilliant presentations. They're unbelievable. Some of the speakers I didn't really talk about much was Jason Martell. I actually got to meet him, hang out with him, and I believe it's his girlfriend. Forgive me, Jason, if it wasn't your girlfriend, it was your wife. But anyway, I ended up buying one of his books, which was called X-Facts, Knowledge Apocalypse, Ancient Astronauts, and the Search for Planet X. Somebody else I got to meet with and hang out with, along with Jimmy Church and some social situations, was Mike Barra. And he did quite a bit of research on the lunar and Mars anomalies, which were incredibly interesting. And I ended up purchasing one of his books. I asked him which one was the most spiritual, and he said, pick this one, which is Ancient Aliens and Secret Societies. And on the front of it is Freemason symbolism with the square and the compass and the eye that's on the top of the $1 bill. I found that pretty interesting. And then I got to speak with Richard Dolan. Out of everybody that I talked to about the blue people, everybody was pretty intrigued and interested in it. But Richard Dolan was more interested in it than anybody else. And I ended up purchasing his book, which is UFOs for the 21st Century. And the Ford was actually articulated by George Noory. And I tell you what, George Noory was an incredible showman and an incredible MC for this event, along with Jimmy Church. They all did a masterful job, and it was such a great conference, and the next one promises to be just as good, if not better. And I believe that the same cast of characters is going to be at the next one come August 19th, 20th, 21st at Big Bear Lake Mountain for the Alien Mountain Fest, and I can't wait to go, so I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Betty, John, I got to remind you, I don't know if there's time on this show, but the George Noory story about the peanuts. I mean, what a great way. If you have time to hear that story, folks, you let John tell that story before you go, because it is funny.
Okay, I don't know if I can do it justice like George did, but George was kind of chapping the organizer of the conference, whose name was Trevor. And Trevor, he's a local businessman there. I believe he owns a ski shop where you can rent out skis and snowboards and stuff like that. And so George was commenting that he had to take a shuttle from Los Angeles up to the top of the mountain, which takes about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And the only bus that they could find was one with senior citizens where they were at least 70 to 90 plus years old. But George, getting a free ride up to the mountain. So he hops on board, and he's sitting near the front, and everybody else is near the back. And this little older lady comes up about every 15 minutes and gives the bus driver a handful of peanuts. And so the bus driver, he obliges her and he eats the peanuts. And then she goes and sits back down. About 15, 20 minutes later, she comes back up again with another handful of peanuts. And the bus driver eats the peanuts, and he goes, and then the lady goes and sits back down. And then the third time, lady comes up and he eats the peanuts. And he says, "Ma'am, I so much appreciate you giving me these peanuts. I've eaten so many that I'm full, and I don't want to get gas. So, but I do appreciate it. I thank you very much." And then he says to the lady, "Don't you like peanuts?" And she said, "Oh yeah, we all love peanuts, but we don't have any teeth, so we just suck the chocolate off of them and give them to you."
Oh, classic story.
No.
Isn't that just terrible? It's funny.
That's a great story.
Everybody laughing. Oh, I laughed. I told that joke to everybody that would listen to me tell it. And I don't tell it as good as he did, but it was so funny. It was just a funny, funny joke. And then some people were actually asking the event organizers, is that really true? And George played it up like, oh, yeah. And then he starts busting on Trevor some more for, you know, setting him up. You know, and then, anyway, it was funny. But no, it wasn't a true story. It was just a joke by George Noory, who did a masterful job as MC along with Jimmy Church and was actually the one that presented Stanton Friedman with his Lifetime Achievement Award, which was much deserved and was definitely one of the highlights of the whole weekend.
Okay, I got another email here from the fellow that Commander Randy, who's he got a reading that answered some questions, explains why really resonate with all of this. I guess he's just an old soul in a high spiritual vibration and essence, and it, I guess we're going to have to communicate some more here. Because I guess this is more a personal message that he's wanting to communicate about. But he's one of our people. He's actually in Thailand.
Oh, okay.
And listens to our call every week. So we communicate with texting back and forth because he's usually got questions to ask. And we appreciate his love and support as well as people from around the world. So it's fascinating to find out where they all reside. And so, well, we will let you finish up this for tonight and have an opportunity to have you come back. We know that you have a lot of stories to tell, and
I do.
Why don't you direct people to your website and or your phone, whatever you wish to give out, and if people want to communicate with you or go buy your books, they'll be able to do that.
Okay, the gentleman that had been chiming in, especially since he had done the research study in which I had spoke of, and if anybody would care to contact me via email, my email is jpolk, P-O-L-K, so jpolk, the number 2, at CFL, like Central Florida, .rr.com. So once again, jpolk2@cfl.rr.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Reverend Polk, at Reverend Polk, P-O-L-K. You can go to my websites if you are interested in purchasing my book or just want to read up on my bio. Feel free to do so by going to johnpolkmedia.com. And or you can go to alienoraclescrolls.com. That's johnpolkmedia.com, alienoraclescrolls.com. My book that has been out for almost a year now, Yahweh, the Biblical God is an Alien, starting to really catch fire. The sales are starting to get really good. And my next book, I'm writing about the blue people in which they showed up at the conference, talked to Travis Walton, Audrey Starborn Hewins, the conference organizer, and R. Keith Andrews, who was voted the number one psychic in Canada, I think like 5 or 6 years ago. And we're all the key witnesses in this case, which really requires and deserves more attention and exposure. And interestingly enough, Whitley Strieber has very similar stories, and it was incredibly an honor to be able to meet him and talk with him at the conference as well. So, Marita.
Well, we thank you for sharing all your experiences. And for Eric, we appreciate your chiming in here and having that conversation as well. And we look forward to having you back again when it seems like it's the right time. And for everybody else, we will be back here next Thursday night. And as I mentioned, if you have some thoughts and ideas about things that you'd like to have on the show or the things that you think would make it better for format or whatever, please give me a call, 317-773-0061 or stargateburrita, M-A-R-I-E-T-T-A, at gmail.com. So those are a couple ways you can communicate with us. And roundtable means that everybody contributes their talents and their abilities, and that's how we share and spread the information that each of us is given. So we thank all of you for being here, and we're going to bring in the music, and we thank all of you for your contributions. We bless you on your way as we complete this day. Good night, all.
Thank you.